And I realized that we missed a couple of key people under those traveling. And the first is the Hancock family. For those of you that are not aware, Toby and Charity are over town and rooting for their fifth boy. Fifth boy. You should think about that. I had dynamics of four girls in my home. That made it interesting. Had I had five boys, I'm not sure I'd still be standing here. So, of course, along with the girls always came boys. That was part of the problem in the equation. And the other travelers that we have here are our old friends. Oh, excuse me, our young old friends. The Eversons have come to visit us. Daniel's mom and dad are here. From Indiana now is where you guys are at.
Illinois.
Okay, I'm sorry, Illinois. So you're here from Illinois and picking Daniel up and heading up to Mammoth, is that correct? And your daughter's graduation. Wonderful. If you don't know Justin and Stephanie, they were here on the islands. Weren't you the music teacher at some point in time? Yeah, over here at the school. And Mr. Olaf, that's all I ever think of with you. So imagine Justin opened Big Olaf's. And that's a scary thought. So I told Daniel, they may end up doing something with that building and close Big Olaf's. And sometimes he's like, no, sacrilege. That would be, can't do that. So, anyways. Quite a weekend we had last weekend, yes? It was noisy. That's for sure. I lost track of how many weeks we're on. On the unthinkable generosity journey. I've been trying to take you through a journey of generosity. God unfolded this to me a number of months ago and just really said, you need to teach some elements of generosity. And I said, okay, well, that's good. And then as I did that, I began to see that there were elements to generosity that I had never thought about. Now, I can't review 6 or 7 weeks worth of teaching, other than to boil down a couple things. First of all, unthinkable generosity. Who gave us the very best example of unthinkable generosity? Jesus. The fact that God chose to give his only son to us while we were still sinners should never cease to amaze you. The day it ceases to amaze you, you need to question your faith. Okay? The fact that he chose you to sacrifice for you should amaze you. Yes? Yes. That's one example that we saw of God showing us unthinkable generosity. I found fascinating the fact that Jesus, when he was here on earth, pointed out an example of what he said was an amazing act of giving. Anybody remember what that is? The widow, the widow's mite. He's sitting in the temple. He's watching people bring in their tithes, bring in their money, first fruit giving. It's all coming in. And this one widow comes up, and she drops 2 cents into the offering box. And he says, look, come here, guys, look. You see what she just did? She gave more than everybody else because she gave all that she had to live on. See, when you give all, where does it take you to? It takes you to a faith of total dependence on God. And that's what generosity does for us. It takes us to a point of total dependency on God. Now, I talked about some of the benefits of generosity, and you see them up on the screen, connecting us to God and bringing blessings to us. If we're generous, blessing others, and then they're able to continue to bless. It gives an example to the world, gives us a testimony. Generosity is an amazing vehicle that God built. And then last week I talked about the three attitudes that we seem to have, and I tied into up for whatever, because we do seem to have one of three attitudes. We're either up for whatever, which seems to be this attitude of whatever happens will happen and however it's going to be. The Christianized version of it is God's going to do whatever God's going to do, so it doesn't really matter what I'm going to do. I love what Ron spoke to this morning. Oh, really? Yeah, it does matter what you're going to do. And then our second attitude sometimes develops that says, no, not ever, not ever. I am never going to find myself in such a place that I haven't planned, purposed, and put everything down and got things in line. And God wants me to have everything in line. And here's my plan for doing this. And I got my first fruit and my tithe. And this is the amount of generosity I can have over this. And this is what I'm going to do here. And this is what I'm going to do here. And this is what I'm going to do here. Does that work out for most people? Not usually. We make our plans, and what does God do? He laughs. But the real attitude that we have is that we're up for forever. In other words, we see things from God's perspective. We see the world around us from God's perspective. We see people from God's perspective. When you start seeing people from God's perspective, everything changes. Everything changes when you look through God's eyes. If we're looking through our eyes, well, let's be honest. We're all pretty darn selfish, aren't we? So we have got to keep that up for forever attitude. That attitude that says, I am going to live forever with Christ in the heavenly realms. Those all sound like nice words, but they come down to this. God's provided for me forever. And he's given me opportunity to do something here in his name. Will I do that? See, God gives us three things to work with. He gives us time, he gives us talent, and he gives us treasure. Now, it seems to me, just from my observation, that we tend to get hung up on the treasure. Okay? So, you know, I pointed out that God desires that we bring a first fruit offering. He doesn't want our second best. He doesn't want our third best. He doesn't want our kind of best. He wants our very first fruits. Okay? And if you look, it appears that what he asks is that if you will bring a tenth of everything that I gave you to me from your very first, I'm going to bless you. That's what a scripture appears to say. And I think that's very valid. And so we think to ourselves, okay, if I bring my tenth in, I'm being generous. No, that's the starting point. That's the baseline. You got to get to generous, because prior to bringing that first fruits in, we end up in a Cain and Abel situation. We end up, if we don't bring the first fruit, the best that we have, a portion of the best that we have, to God, he says in Malachi, we're robbing him. So generosity only starts above our first fruit. Can we agree with that? Okay? Okay. So, I don't want to talk anymore about treasure. Okay? Today, I just want to talk to you about the other two parts that we have. Time and talent. Now, you take time, talent, and treasure. Okay? Can anyone tell me a major difference between time, talent, and treasure? In supply. How much time do you have in a day? Mm-hmm. How many talents do you have? Basically, whatever you started out with that day, that's pretty well what you got. But treasure, can that change day to day? See, none of us knows the number of our days. God only knows the number of our days. So in terms of time, we don't know what we have. In terms of talent, God can always add to talent. If you take talent being abilities and spiritual gifts, God can always give us special giftings. But treasure? Treasure is one of those things that varies up, down, round. You know, the person that's on top can be on the bottom tomorrow. The person that's on the bottom can be on the top. God gives treasure as he chooses to, because how many cattle has he got? Huh? How many cattle does God have? The cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got it all. And if he wants to give it all to Justin, he can give it all to Justin today. Okay? Because it's really up to him. He asks us to do. He asks us to work. But does he ask us to do and to work to earn? No. He asks us to do and to work to serve. And he promises to provide. That's as simple as that. But he does not promise you anything more than 24 hours in a day. If anybody figures out how to get an extra second out of a day, please let me know. Because some days I feel like I could use those. So all we have to work with after we ignore the treasure is time and talent. I have a little video this morning in an unusual manner. I actually want the screen down today because I have a video I want you to watch. And there's a message inside of it that will set the tone for this week's teaching and next week's teaching.
kind of feel like I really shouldn't be here.
Oh, come on. Just play something with me.
No, I don't think I should.
I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, have not love, it profits me nothing. 1 Corinthians 13:3. The honest truth is, when we think of unthinkable generosity, we tend to measure by that measuring tool that the world says decides how successful and how well we've done. And what is that measuring tool called? Money. Because if we take our time and our talent, the world says we will get money. And so if you take your time and your talent, you put those two things together, you get money. So I can tell how much time and talent you have given to something if you give money. Right? Is God interested in your money? You think he is? He's sitting up there going, man, I sure wish I could get into Gina's wallet. I bet she's got 50s in there. It'd be wonderful. Yeah? Sure wish I could get that bank balance. Yeah? Scott's got, that'd be great. You know, let's be really honest. God has an infinite supply of everything. All right? And he has promised us an infinite supply of money. I will meet all your needs. I will prosper you. I can do far and above everything that you expect me to do. But money is not the issue. See, because what God gave us was his son. He gave us his son for a time. And that son had a very unique talent. He could do something that no one else could do. He could save us from our sin. He could redeem us from our fallen state. He gave us the best of his time and his talent. And you know, I don't want anybody not to give money. Don't get me wrong. But if that's all you do, then that's all you do. See, God wants so much more than your money. He wants who you are. He asks all of us. It's a hard lesson. Remember, who likes sacrifice that Jesus made? Come on, who likes sacrifice that Jesus made? None of you like it, huh? Okay. Who likes to make sacrifice themselves? All right. See, that's really the issue, is will we give all that we have to Christ? And only you can decide that. You'll walk away from this teaching deciding where you're at and that. And I've probably drilled in on that about as much as anybody can. But what I'd really like to shift our focus to is where God would have us give our time and our talent. Now, this video happened to show you one of my big passions, which God has taken me to over the years, is those who I call the least, last, and lost. Those who are homeless and broken. And I mean, that's a passion that God has given me over the years. Even very, very early in my faith, he took me stumbling into that place. And that has been a blessing. And, you know, Jesus worked with some very unique people, too. I would like you to open your Bibles, if you would, if you'd turn to Mark, the book of Mark. And like I tell people every week, I really like it when you open your Bibles. Yes, it'll show up on the screen, but God may take you somewhere else while you're looking at what I'm telling you to look at, Mark. He may have a different idea for what he might like to tell you. But I would love you to turn to the second chapter of Mark. And I would love you to turn in the second chapter of Mark. I would love you to turn to the 13th chapter, 13th verse. Somebody help me. I do that every week, don't I? The 13th verse in the second chapter. And it's probably titled there, if you have an NIV, it's probably titled The Calling of Levi. And Justin, seeing as how you're here and you have the right voice for this, I'm going to ask you to read from 13 through 17. You told me your eyes are all fixed now. Now I'm challenging. Oh, okay.
Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him and began to teach him. And as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples. For there were many when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Thank you, Justin. Thank you for allowing me to put you on the spot there. Well, the first thing I really need to point out is that it appears that IRS agents are a special class of sinner. You're going to use that, I'm sure. There were this group of very, very religious people called the Pharisees. And they looked and they saw that Jesus was spending his time and obviously his talent to relate to people and to talk to people. And he was spending it with two types of people. One was the undefined sinners. So sinners in their viewpoint would have been anybody that was not a Jew following the Jewish law to the letter. That made you a sinner. So he's taking his time and his talents and he's giving these over to those unworthy people. And further, on top of that, besides just the unnamed sinners, the specific sinners, the tax collectors, those who had wealth, but wealth that was ill-gotten in their viewpoint, because they were collecting for Rome and no doubt keeping a portion of it, that special class of sinners, Jesus took time and talent and gave it to them. They didn't like that. They didn't like that at all. You see, the Pharisees were hung up. The Jews in general were hung up on the idea, you know, we're the chosen race. And everybody else is like this subcategory of us. And fortunately, we never do that. We never see people as below our level, do we? See, Jesus was not called to spend his time and talent with his friends. Jesus was not called to spend his time and his talent with his family. Jesus was not even called just to spend his time and his talent with his kinsfolk, those who looked like him, talked like him, were raised like him, lived like him, were in the same social class as him. He was not called to them. He was called to the sinners and the IRS agents. Acts 10. Peter, well, remember who Peter was? Anybody tell me who Peter was? The Rock. He was, what he said became the foundation upon which Christ said, I'm going to build my church. So he is somewhat considered a founding member of the church. There you go. And so if there's anybody that should understand it, anybody that should have it down, it would be Peter. Now, Peter and Paul came together, and just doing a little bit of biblical history here, they had a little clash over something. And what was their clash over? Anybody know? Circumcision. Whether the Gentiles, the new believers, would need to be circumcised, and whether they would have to follow the Jewish law in order to be considered part of God's plan, God's salvation, Jesus' redemption plan. And if you turn into Acts 10, I'm going to run you back up. It's not on the screen here. I'm going to run you up on 10. I'm going to run you to verse 28. Because let's just set the tone here to understand what Peter is going to be addressing here. He said to them in verse 28, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or to visit him. Okay, get that. Get that. It is not just a bad idea. It is not just preferred not to happen in polite society. It is not just something that we just don't do. But it is against our law to associate or to go into the home of a Gentile. This is what Peter's up against. This is what the early church is up against. Now feature that, put that in your mind, and let's pick it up down in Acts. We're going to pick it up in verse 34. And John, if I could, because my voice is going because of my cold, can I get you to do the reading for me, please, of 34 through 47?
Still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have.
circumcised believers, the Jews, they were amazed. The observant Jews were amazed that the Gentiles had received the Holy Spirit. You mean salvation is for everybody? Isn't that amazing? Salvation is for everybody. It's just not for you. Or you, or you, or you, or you. It's everybody. Nobody's excluded. And God gave us another example in His Son of who we would give our time and talent to, who He would have us be generous to. See, we're really comfortable being generous to our family, right? Whether that be biological or our church family. We're pretty comfortable doing that. If we've got something that we can give and we can do, and, you know, my daughter Jen is getting ready to move back out here, and I will do everything I can to help make that possible. I love my family. There's no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes about it. And I will do everything that I can. That's normal. That's natural. That's not bad. That's not bad. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those that belong to the family of God. So it helps that my family believes in God, too. And that's a good thing. But you see, that's not who Jesus went to. He didn't go to those that already had chosen Him. He went to those that were still away from Him. And we get ourselves divided. What divides us? And that's a question I want to address. What divides us? I'll tell you some things that divide us. Success divides us. Our address divides us. The way we dress divides us. Our educational level divides us. Yes, is this true? But it goes further than that. It's our cultures we live in. They divide us. So hard when I go to Haiti, understanding their culture. I'm so tired of hearing that's not the Haitian way. I've really come to understand that we do the same thing in America. That's not the American way. Age divides us, young and old. Our experiences divide us. Our races divide us. And I would say beyond races, nationalities. You know, what nation we are citizens of. Our color divides us and our language divides us. Who wants us to be divided? Come on, there's one that wants us to be divided. Who is it?
Satan.
Who wants us to be united? Jesus. God wants us to be united. So here's your homework. I'm going to close with one more thought-provoking video. And I want you to think this week. I want you to pray. I want you to get down upon your knees. And I want you to figure out, who am I dividing myself from? Who have I put a wall up to that God might have me go past so that I can be generous with my time or my talent in a place that does not make me especially comfortable? Is God calling me somewhere? So I close with this thought-provoking video. That's not putting any noise out, is it?
When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my brother, I see my brother. When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my brother, I see my brother. Thank you. days of my enemy. I see my father, I see my father. When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my father, I see my father. Forgiveness is the garment of our courage, the power to make the peace we long to know. Open up our eyes to see those that bind all of humankind. May our shattered hearts greet the dawn of life with charity.
Lord, may we look into your face. May we look into the face of our brothers, our sisters, those that don't look like us, act like us, walk in the way we walk, talk in the way we talk, those that challenge us as humans, those we would judge, those who would see as our enemies. Give us your heart, Lord. And in giving us your heart, your compassion for them, give us the spirits of generosity to take that precious gift of time that you have given us and those special abilities and spiritual gifts and share them not with those who have, not with those with whom we walk daily, but with those that you call us to. It's all right, Lord. Make us uncomfortable. Just make us uncomfortable in your name. Amen.
Let's stand as we close the song. I love.